So page 1077 on your pew Bible, and beginning at verse 22, and it's titled, The Unbelief of the Jews. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him, saying, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Amen.
Beloved people in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to begin this morning by asking, what are your plans for 2013? Perhaps you're planning an overseas trip. It's okay. Perhaps you're planning a career change. Fine. Perhaps you're thinking of starting a family. Great. No problem. Let me ask you perhaps a more important question then. Are you sure, are you confident that you are safe in the Lord's hands as you go into 2013? No matter what happens. Let me tell you, personally for me as a pastor, I'm having the responsibility of caring for many of you. There is no more important question for me that you could answer for me in the affirmative. That doesn't mean that the other questions aren't worthwhile. Sure, they're worthwhile. But they're not as important as your eternal security. Now, before you think I'm perhaps being a little bit too gloomy. Let me tell you immediately that if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, that you're eternally safe. Nothing, as we just read in John's Gospel, there is nothing that can snatch us out of the Father's hand. Praise God. Praise God. What does that mean? Well, let me just be very practical here. Then you don't need to be overly anxious when you get sick. You don't need to delay the doctor's appointment. For whatever the outcome, the Lord is holding you. You don't need to be overly anxious if your business is going pear-shaped or you've lost your job. The Lord is holding you. And He is holding us because He knows us and He loves us in Christ, and therefore nothing can separate us from His love. I mean, that's not just a biblical truth that we read in Romans chapter 8. It's also expressed in Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, King David reflects on God's ability to know everything. And God knows everything because He's made everything. And He controls it, and hence He is supremely powerful. And it's important that you know it. I mean, just think for a moment, if God were not all powerful, then that would mean that there is some other God or some other power that is more powerful, and then indeed we could not feel secure or be secure for 2013. Not only for the present day, but also for eternity. So it is vital as Christians that we have a biblical understanding of who God is. The God described in the Bible and also in Psalm 139 is all powerful, is everywhere present. He knows all things. And that's not just an abstract truth. It's not just a head knowledge thing. But it is a truth when rightly applied gives us great comfort as we go into 2013. And for David, God's power and knowledge already begins for him when he was still in the womb of his mother. Look what it says there in verses 13 following. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. You understand? I mean, theologically, of course, God already knew David before the foundation of the world. But humanly speaking, from the very first moment we are conceived in our mother's womb, God knows us. He doesn't know us as a piece of tissue, you know, or as a fetus that can be so readily done away with in our world today. But he knows us as individuals. He sees us as unborn children being formed in his image from the moment of conception. And from that moment, brothers and sisters, we are safe in God's hands. Absolutely safe. See, David is reflecting on the truth that from the very first moment, God knew him, kept him, and already had ordained what his life was to be. Verse 16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. See, there are things in this life that happen that catch us by surprise, that shock us. But not our God. Nothing catches him by surprise. He knows it all. He knows it, for he has made us and he watches over us until our days are done here. Now, sometimes people will jokingly say that every human heart has X number of beats and that we shouldn't waste them. And I guess, in a sense, they are right. But it's not a lucky draw. God has ordained how many beats our hearts will beat. There is no such thing as lucky or unlucky about the days of our lives. Now, of course, we've got to use our common sense with that. I mean, if you abuse alcohol, you will probably die earlier than you would normally do if you didn't abuse it, or drugs or other such things. However, for the normal set of circumstances, you know, people get anxious when they are sick and wonder whether they will live to 50 or 60 or even beyond. With respect, don't worry about it too much. That doesn't mean we should put our heads in the sand. I'm not saying that. And when something goes wrong with our bodies, don't put your head in the sand. Go to the doctors. Take your medicine. Do whatever you do. Sure. However, let us remember that it may be God's plan not to extend our life on earth. But he will never let us slip from his eternal grasp. He's holding us because of Christ. Because of Christ. If your business is going pear-shaped, by all means, get the right people in to give you advice. But God may not save your business. But one thing we can be sure of, he will not let us slip from his eternal hands. We're safe in Christ. Now, if you struggle with that, allow me to suggest one way to avoid at least some of the angst about life. And that is to consider Christ and to consider God and who he is and what he has done. I put it to you, we don't do that nearly enough. We're always so busy going here, doing that, going there. Notice what King David does. He reflects on the abundance of God's thoughts towards him. Verses 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And then he ends with, when I awake, I am still with you. I mean, we're so busy. People get up in the morning, quick shower, quick breakfast, off to work, or whatever they do. Take time, get up, I don't know, 10 minutes earlier. And just spend some time in prayer, committing the Lord, committing the day to the Lord. Perhaps read a meditation, read some scripture verses, whatever. Just think about who you are in Christ and what God has done for you. It's the most rewarding thing to do. David is taking time out to fill his mind about God and who he is and what he has done and what he can do. I don't know what you plan for 2013, but considering God is a great and rewarding experience. It's a great pastime. And we shouldn't go into 2013 without taking time to do it. Paul writes in Philippians 4 verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I put it to you, congregation, when you consider God, and especially for what he has done for us in Christ, you are doing it, Philippians 4 verse 8, in the most rewarding way. Can't be done any better. As you go into 2013, maybe you need to think about time management. Don't be so busy with your life that you don't have time to focus on your God and your love and his love to you in Christ. And by the way, David isn't half asleep when writing these words. Rather, he is observing that whether he's awake or sleeping, God is always with him. Always. I can't remember just offhand, but I remember when, it's amazing, isn't it? When our children were small, we used to have this little prayer. When I lay myself down to sleep, Lord, how does it go? I have no soul to keep. Well, that's the way it is. You know, that's the way it is. The promise God, Christ made that same promise to his disciples in Matthew 28. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Never apart. Psalm 121, we didn't read it, but God says, the psalmist says that God does not slumber or sleep. His shade is at our right hand. And note also in this psalm that King David becomes frustrated about the wicked and their evil intent. They represent everything that David's loving God isn't. The psalmist wants nothing to do with evil or evil people. In fact, it seems that the psalmist is calling down judgment on the wicked. And yet judgment is not really the issue here in these verses. What King David is actually saying is that he wants no part of the evil that evil men devise. Note verses 19 to 22. If you would only slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. I know some people will just say, hang on a minute, this is just not really Christian to say that, is it? I mean, we nowadays, we say, we hate the sin, not the sinner. I think it's probably nice advice, but it's also hard to do. Since love of the sinner, if we're not extremely careful, leads first to the love of the sinner's sinful ways. And then even to participate in them. David was not at all sure that he could successfully love one and hate the other. So his decision was to separate himself from evil people. And by the way, this separation does not mean that David never had anything to do with sinful people. He himself was a sinner. He knew that. I mean, there's a difference between being a sinful person and being an evil person. It only means here that David did not want to be with those who were openly marked by evil or who were devising or hatching up evil things. So taken was he with the greatness and love of God that he wanted nothing to do that would put his relationship with God in jeopardy. May we have that same mindset as we go into 2013. In direct contrast, he wants to continue walking and growing in God's ways. Notice the last two verses. They're beautiful verses, but they're most revealing. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The problem David perceives is that although he wants to keep clear of evil people and their ways, he nevertheless has evil in himself. In fact, his avoidance of evil people is not because he is too good for such people, but because he cannot trust himself in evil company. He is too sinful. He is prone to the same sort of sins. He knows it. So here he appeals to God to search him out in order that he may be led in a righteous way, a way everlasting. I mean, what a marvelous goal. As we go into 2013. The psalmist is praying for four things here. For God to know him and to expose his thoughts. For God to try and perfect his thoughts. For God to purge away whatever evil remains in him. And for God to lead him in the way everlasting. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, the psalm begins by a declaration that God knows everything. He's all powerful. He's everywhere present. And it ends with a request for God to search and know the psalmist so that he can live a life that is less offensive to his God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. It's a serious prayer. Have you ever prayed it? It invites painful exposure. And surgery sometimes, if we truly mean it. But I put it to you, that's what every wise believer saved by Christ should desire to do. Indeed, happy is the Christian who prays it every day. Search me, O God, and know my heart. He who puts himself into the presence of the all-seeing God who stands in his light and is willing to have anything and everything which is not right brought to light and judged is the wise man. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, part thereof, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What a good verse, isn't it? Every thought, how does this gel with Christ? Every deed. It's the bracelet said, WWJD. What would Jesus do? As we go into 2013, congregation, may the knowledge of what our God is and what he has done and who he is do four things. First, I think that it needs to humble us. God is God, Almighty God, three times holy. We are sinful human beings. Don't think and speak as though you know everything and especially that you know all God's ways. We don't. His ways are higher than our ways. God is God. We're sinful human beings. If we ever begin to appreciate the perfect knowledge of God and by contrast our own pathetic understanding, the first effect this will have on us will be humility. Read the book of Job. Job thought he knew God's mind. And his friends, for that matter, did too. And then after 37 chapters, God and his friends, after 37 chapters of Job and his friends speaking, God speaks. And Job is completely humbled. He replies to God in Job 42, verse 3 and 6, "Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Don't think too much of yourself. Second, God's knowledge of us should comfort us. He knows the worst about us. The worst. And He still loves us. So much, in fact, that He sent His Son to die for us. Take comfort that all your sins are paid for. Third, that God knows us and knows all things, even those little hidden things, should encourage us to live holy lives. In Psalm 139, David has been reflecting on the all-knowing God, the omniscience of God, and it has led him to ask God to help him to live an upright life. And he knows that God will do it precisely because God knows him so well. We know very little. We do not even know ourselves. But God knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strength. He knows our sins. He knows our aspirations. Live a godly life. Be holy. He knows when we need rebuking and correcting. He knows when we need teaching and encouragement. If anyone can lead us in the way everlasting, it is God. Moreover, since I know He knows me and wants to help me, I can be encouraged to get on with my upright, holy living. Fourth, that God knows all things and is everywhere present and all powerful should help us to pray. Why would you not pray? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus encouraged His followers to pray to God confidently, expecting answers. Matthew 6, "When you pray, do not go, keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." It doesn't say that we shouldn't pray. It doesn't say that. We should pray. We should be a prayerful people. The first sign of thankfulness in a Christian's life is that they pray. God's knowledge of what we need is so perfect that He often answers even before we pray to Him. Isaiah already wrote, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." Isaiah 65:24. Tell me, what are your plans for 2013? Career change? Perhaps a family? Living somewhere else? All good, no problem with that. But I pray that as you go into 2013, that God knows you as His child, saved by Christ. May you know Him and His nearness every day, and may it create within you a desire to live for Him in a way that is everlasting. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father God, we thank You that You are our God, our great God, and that You know us. Yes, even before the foundations of the world, when we were conceived in our mother's womb, You knew us. And You have set in place all the days of our life already. Lord, as we go into 2013, we pray that we may have our priorities right in life. Lord, we may be planning many things, much of which may be good. But Lord, may we be known by You as Your children, saved by Your precious Son. For then we are eternally safe. And Lord, should there be any here this morning that are unsure of that, we pray that through your word and spirit, you would encourage them to trust in you and you alone, not only for 2013, but for their eternal life. And Lord, may that knowledge of us, that we are safe in your eternal hands, help us to live lives that are holy and pleasing in your sight. Search us, Lord. And if there is any offensive way within us, cleanse us. May we become more and more Christ-like. Hear our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.